This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's been called a moment of justice, decades in the making. Tasmania, once the last state to decriminalise homosexuality, is now on the brink of becoming the first to offer financial compensation to those convicted under its former anti-LGBTQIA plus laws. And it's a powerful turnaround for a state once branded Bigots Island, and it's sparking calls for similar action right across the country. Dr. Ash Russell is president of Equality Tasmania and joins us now on Joy Drive. Ash, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Warren.
How significant is this moment for Tasmania, a state that once criminalised homosexuality and now stands to lead the nation on redress?
I think this is a very significant moment for Tasmania, but more importantly, it's a significant moment for Australia and possibly worldwide. Like you mentioned, we're actually the first state to add financial redress to these historical expungements of people's convictions, but we're the first in Australia to do this, but it's also quite world-leading. The parliamentarians who decided upon this amount of financial redress, they actually had to search far and wide to even find examples of places that offered something similar. There were some places in Canada that did the same, that some of these amounts and laws were based off, but this is so significant that it is actually leading the world and Australia.
For those affected, I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been jailed for just being yourself. What kind of trauma or stigma are we talking about for the people these people have carried for decades?
That's a really good question, because this is the heart of why we're doing this, the people that were affected by it. This was actually before my time. I'm a bit of a young person, so I was born just before these laws were repealed. But from the people that I do know who've lived in that time, they've mentioned how difficult it was to simply exist. There was the social discrimination and stigma, but one of the main issues with this law was it turned from just social discrimination and stigma to legal discrimination. So people who were charged or convicted under these laws would sometimes lose their jobs. They would sometimes lose friends or family. They would be outed quite publicly, and all the ways that affected them. So for some people, this was actually life destroying. It ended all these friendships and family and jobs, income that they had, and completely changed their lives.
So just on that, the reforms are going to offer up to $75,000 in compensation. Yes. Is that enough? I mean, if someone's life has been completely destroyed, $75,000 is not going to make much of a difference, is it?
No, that's a very good point. There's many other financial redress schemes that offer hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. But with this one, we had to consider a couple of things. One was who are the people who need this right now? And those people who've been convicted in the past, a lot of them are actually quite elderly now. So we have to get this through quickly, to be able to get them that compensation as fast as possible so they can make the most use out of it. And the other question is, how do you even assess how much a person's life has been impacted by this? So that was one of the things the parliamentary committee considered. Could we even assess the impact that this has on a person's life? And should we give compensation based on that impact? But in the end, they decided that was going to be really difficult to quantify. So they instead adopted this set payment amount. But it is still, even though $75,000 is, you know, not enough for redoing somebody's life, it is still one of the largest payments for this kind of conviction worldwide.
The parliamentary committee itself, did we get an idea of, I suppose, what the mood was as they were looking into this? I mean, I'd like to know that they were kind of shocked that this could happen to people. Was there any sort of feeling that you know of?
It's hard to know because we're not often allowed into those committees. But I do know it was actually already, you could already apply under Tasmanian laws to have your historical conviction expunged. So this committee was just amending that act because not enough people were taking it because it was too difficult to go through the process of that expungement. So they were considering making it more accessible, but also that compensation. So there wasn't too much surprise because they've already gone through this once before, but there was more, a lot of consideration about what can be done to improve these people's lives. Clearly just expunging their convictions was not doing enough because people were not even applying to have it removed from their records. So we needed to go further, and I do know that the Parliament definitely kept that in mind, which is why they opted for this much larger payment.
Which is good. I wonder how many people weren't applying because of, you know, fear of what's happened in the past as well, of having to go through another process.
Yeah, continual trauma with the system.
We're chatting with Dr. Ash Russell, President of Equality Tasmania, about the new laws to compensate Tasmanians historically convicted under anti-LGBTQIA plus laws. Ash, how did Tasmania move from being the last state to decriminalise same-sex relationships to becoming what's now called the Rainbow Isle? I mean, it's a great turnaround. How did it happen?
It is a fantastic turnaround. We've actually got we've got a town up in the north of our state called Ulverston. It is a lovely town. Mm. And that was voted the most homophobic town in Australia in the past.
Wow.
Yes, but only a few years ago, that town flew the rainbow flag above their local government offices. Wow. And they have a thriving community up there, multiple active social groups for LGBTQA plus people. So we've come miles. One of the things that has really helped that, I think, is the spirit of the people in Tasmania. We haven't opted for all of this social or law reform coming from the top. We haven't waited for the government to fix it for us or organizations or institutions to fix it for us. It's all been really built from the community itself. So the Tasmanian community would share all of our personal stories. We're not ones to take a quick compromise. Instead, we're quite often standing our ground and asking for what we actually need, even if that takes us longer to get it. And all of this together, this community gathering, sharing our stories, asking for what we need, has led to some of the fastest change. Like you mentioned, going from one of the most bigoted areas to one of the most welcoming. So we have a chant that we often say in our pride marches, and it's been around since the 80s, I think, and it's still said today. It's we're here, we're queer, and we're not going to the mainland.
Oh, I love it. Do you know what? You're going to get an influx of people, I reckon, moving to Tasmania. I love it. I think Tasmania is an amazing place to visit for so many reasons, and this is just one of those extra reasons. It's the legislation, Ash, also expands hate crime protections. How will that make a difference for queer Tasmanians today and the thousands that are on their way?
Yes, we do actually already have many people moving down. It's a growing community, so please, you're welcome. but the hate crime protections legislation that is being discussed in Parliament currently, it's another layer of protection for people who live here. Australia is a bit of an odd place because we're one of the few countries in the world where we do not have a Human Rights Act, and only a few states have a Human Rights Act. So protections based on people's human rights are a little bit scattershot across Australia. Mm. In Tasmania, we have a law that allows something called aggravated sentencing for people who've been convicted of a hate crime. So that means that the judge is able to give you a stronger sentence because your crime was done out of discrimination and hatred. But that law actually only counts a hate crime against a person's race. So these changes that are coming through will be an expanding of that law to cover other attributes. So that would be gender, sexuality, but also things like disability or religion, basically anything that a person could use to target a vulnerable or a minority group. Those will be added to that legislation. So those will count as hate crimes as well.
Now, we've spoken of Tasmania's story of transformation. What lessons could other states take from this when it comes to their own past laws?
I think one of the big lessons they could take is that this is possible. Mm. A lot of the laws, a lot of the changes, even the community spirit that we have in Tasmania, This is all things that you sometimes do not get elsewhere in Australia. We've also been told some of these things before are just not possible. We have fantastic self-identification laws in Australia, in Tasmania, sorry. And those laws, when we were trying to work on getting those through Parliament, we were simply told over and over again, they're just not going to get through. Just give up on them. It's not going to happen. Lo and behold, they did make it through. And now we have fantastic birth certificate laws, ability to change your gender markers and names. And those things are something that I believe elsewhere in Australia can learn from. You don't need to take the first compromise offered to you. You need to ask for what you need because our community does have needs and we deserve to have those things given to us. They're needs, not wants. So I believe that you can take from this that it's possible and it is something that improves our lives. Think about what your community would need and what you need to do to get them.
Ash, I have to admit, I find stories like this really good and positive to hear about, but I also find them quite, I suppose, awakening in terms of the realisation of what some people have been through. And, you know, we've spoken about that today in terms of being, you know, jailed for being yourself. I think that's absolutely horrific. What message do you hope this sends to those older queer Tasmanians who lived through those darker years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. What we really hope this sends is not just an apology, not just a sorry, but more of a understanding that they deserve to be who they are. What happened in the past was a complete wrong that was done to them, and that our society, that our government now recognises that openly. Being able to legitimise what we're now saying to them, saying that you are welcome, you are loved, and you are worth something. You are worth a lot, in fact, in our community, especially having grown up being told that they weren't worth being part of our community. So I really hope that they take that away from this, and I really hope that people who have been convicted in the past or even charged apply to this, because they are absolutely worth a lot more than this money. But they are worth being part of our community and being welcomed and being celebrated.
Dr. Ash Russell, thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. That was Ash Russell, President of Equality Tasmania.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.